Welcome to the Racing Games episode of the Supermercato Brothers' Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? My name is Carl.
I'm Will Brueggemann.
This is episode 13, Racing Games. This is obviously an incredibly well-known piece of music that we're starting with. Maybe arguably one of the most immediately recognizable starts of any video game, music-wise.
Yeah, I guess, especially that intro part.
Yeah, this one's cool because this doesn't happen that much in the game. Usually you hear that intro, that's when you're actually racing. Mm-hmm. This one is the main theme, so it goes right into, like, you know, the song that plays after the title screen, I think.
Right. That's why I did the Mario impression.
Yeah. I still remember vividly the first time I played this game and saw that Mario, because it started with the Nintendo logo that was spinning really, really fast, mm-hmm. and it was 3D. They did a lot of like 3D kind of gimmicky logos.
I remember the flag that would like flap in the wind, that checkered
looked
black and
so
white flag,
good,
that
yeah.
looked really good.
And then another effect that was really impressive was the TVs, the big Jumbotrons would be showing the race.
Yeah.
I just remember that was like, it blew my mind when I saw that at the time.
You thought the processing power was impressive that they could like have it in two parts
exactly,
of the screen.
Exactly. It was impressive. But yeah, how's it going, everybody? Last week was probably my favorite episode we did so far.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah,
a lot of work.
Great. This one will be definitely a very different style from that one. This will be more kind of laid back, similar vein to some of our show and tells.
Are my favorite ones. Just
or maybe our arcade episode. So yeah, there's definitely kind of some distinct differences between styles of our podcast. You know, there's some that are very in depth. And I think, depending on the episode, it kind of warrants what the style will be, you know?
So you're saying that our episodes aren't a one-size-fits-all?
No, I mean, I think that wouldn't really make sense for this episode. I mean, I can't imagine dissecting a lot of these songs, you know? They're kind of, the purposes are different, too, you know?
Well, I don't know. Bringing you back to our bonus stages episode, we got pretty deep
that
there.
That was a cool surprise, so who knows what'll happen today.
Ooh.
But yeah, just a heads up for next week. We are going to be unfortunately having to take a week off next week, so we'll be coming back the week after next. But you know, just to have something fun next week, we'll be posting something of some, not an actual episode, but either some sort of YouTube link or a soundtrack or some pics. So we'll be posting something next week just to tide you guys over until the following week. So hopefully you can find something else to do next week. Bide your time.
Yeah, twiddle your thumbs, be wanting more of the, what's the abbreviation? SMBVGMP.
Yeah, hopefully maybe the week off will actually make you guys, you know, want us more. What did they say? You know, sometimes if you want someone to want you more, you just,
it's
you
like
know.
Distance draws the heart something or something. I swear there's a thing. You're like, space makes the heart grow fonder. I think that's a saying.
I don't know about distance. It's like time apart or something. I know that ends with makes the heart grow fonder, but I don't know what the start
Mr. Love Guru. I'll take your word on
that. Is it distance? Is it time?
I think it's space.
Space? Either way, hopefully you guys will come back wanting even more.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start off with our playlist for today.
So yeah, you heard the Mario Kart 64 theme starting this podcast off. That was composed by Kenta Nagata from the game Mario Kart 64 for the Nintendo 64. We're going to keep
How
the
many
Mario
times
Kart...
can you say 64 in one sentence?
I think maybe like three or four. Yeah. I don't think it would make
Wrong.
Sense to say
the,
it anymore.
The right answer would have been 64.
That would be absolutely ridiculous. So we're going to keep the Mario Kart vein going. We're going to play a track from the original Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo. And this was composed by Soyo Oka. We played a couple of these tracks in our Show and Tell Volume 1 episode, I believe.
Yep.
We're going to play the most famous one that we actually didn't play, which was good because now we can play it today. This is Mario Circuit. We'll be right back. This is Mario Circuit from Super Mario Kart, composed by Soyo Oka.
I like that weird percussion or bass? That just weird...
It's a bass, yeah. It's like a synth bass.
It's goofy.
Yeah, for some reason, that's maybe the kind of the stereotypical Super Mario Kart instrument. They kind
of
use that a lot.
A lot of these instruments are very
unique to this game.
I feel like this is like the third or fourth time that you've yawned in one of these podcasts. I feel like that's going to be a recurring theme.
Mm-hmm.
Is Will just being really tired from a late night?
Shut up.
So actually, the phrase we were saying earlier, it's absence. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Thanks, Google.
That's what the phrase is. So I know there's some people that were just screaming at the podcast because you probably knew it and we didn't, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I think if they're very passionate about video game music, I don't think that they would necessarily know sayings about romance.
Are you saying that our viewers are just kind of like one-trick ponies?
No, I'm saying that our viewers are probably
well,
fairly
they're not,
nerdish
first of all, first
like
of all,
ourselves.
We shouldn't call them viewers. They're not viewing anything. I guess listeners.
Well, viewing doesn't require vision.
I mean, listeners is better.
Okay.
They're not viewers. They're listeners.
Okay. Well, they mean
or they're subscribers.
They do have to go to the thing and they have to click on stuff.
Whatever they're called, they're awesome and we love them. So we're going to play a track from a famous arcade racing game called Outrun. This has an amazing soundtrack. We played a game on our arcade episode, which it was almost our track of the week. I loved it. It was called Magical Sound Shower.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Which was really cool. And this game is composed by Hiroshi Miyauchi. And like we said, this is from the original arcade version. It also was released for the Sega Genesis and I think other systems as well. But this is the most famous track of the game. This is called Splash Wave. Splash Wave from Outrun, composed by Hiroshi Miyauchi. This is a very long song. It's not over yet. There's this whole other section that happens right here. It's about a two-minute loop, I guess you'd say. But this is a really interesting game. Have you played this game, the original Outrun?
Yep.
It's a pretty cool game.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Good sense of humor.
I'm not very good at it.
It is hard, but I like the sense of humor that it has in the game.
Yeah, I guess.
They also continue that with Outrun 2 for the Xbox. It has kind of a similar sense of humor to it.
Oh, I've never played for that Xbox.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a nice
What's
piece
an
of music.
Xbox? I only play retro games.
It's just basically like a box that's shaped like an X.
I heard about those. Weren't they kind of popular at one time?
No.
That was just a fad, right?
Oh, yeah. This part's cool. Xbox is just like a cult classic.
I feel
it's just
like
an underground system.
I feel like this composer is like really indulgent to like that little tune up, really kind of holding on to that as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We need to get into some more like rocking intense type of.
We definitely
race
have
tracks.
Some rocking intense
because
race
I need to wake
today.
Up.
Yeah, you do need to wake up. Why didn't you get some like Mountain Dew on the way here?
I don't know.
Why didn't you, like, take a helicopter and then, like, jump out of it on a snowboard and, you know, drink some Mountain Dew? That would
My helicopterist was feeling ill.
Do you even have a snowboard? And it's not snowing. There's no snow outside.
Well, I don't have a snowboard, but I have a helicopter and a helicoptist.
Is that what that's what they're called?
I think so.
Helicopterer, maybe? That sounds more official.
I feel like you're just making fun of me and my helicoptist.
I would never, ever do that to you. Actually,
is helicopter, like, to helicopt, is that a verb? Could I just be like, I'm helicopting there?
No,
now?
Because helicopter is just a word.
Yeah,
to
but nowadays
that,
people take, like, any noun or anything and they make it a verb.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that that's not a word. It's not a verb.
Well, it is now.
We're going to move on to a classic NES track.
Yeah, let's helicopt over to the NES.
I was
realm.
Hoping that you wouldn't mention that again, but, you know. And again, this probably won't be the last time you'll say that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, the comedy rule of three.
Yeah, yep, there'll be one more. So this game was a pretty well-known game. One cool thing about the music is it was composed by Nobuo Uematsu of Final Fantasy fame. I think this came out in like 86 or 87, so this is actually a pretty good soundtrack. I think he did a really good job with this game. The first track we're going to play is really famous, actually. This is called Music 1 from Rad Racer.
Music 1 from Rad Racer, and I really like this one. There's a lot of cool rhythmic things that are happening, but the melody is cool, and also there's a nice use of crescendos, which for the NES is kind of impressive. And a crescendo means like a note that starts off quiet and
gets louder.
Builds, or a series of notes.
Like a flower that's blooming. I like to think of it like a blooming flower.
Did you get that from Michael Jackson?
No, actually, but I think, you know, great minds think alike. Yeah, no, I like the drum beat a lot in this track as well. It's cool. It doesn't really sound anything like Uematsu, which I kind of like. I mean, it's a racing game, so I'm glad it doesn't sound like Final Fantasy. I'm not to pigeonhole. I mean, I know he's capable of, you know, a lot of diversity, but
I don't know.
I never would ever think of this if I didn't know. I never would. Oh, that sounds like Uematsu. That's what's cool about it.
Yeah, I guess.
You feel me?
I mean, I think this is definitely one of the more iconic Nintendo tracks.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely one of the most iconic racing tracks, for sure. We're going to play another track later on from this game.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to you, Will. Just wanted to make sure that you realized that.
Okay.
So now we're going to move on to one of the most famous racing games of all time.
Okay. Comedy rule of three, everyone. Take notes.
This started a really, really popular series. This is F-Zero for the Super Nintendo.
Great game.
Really good soundtrack as well. We played a couple tracks last week, probably the best two tracks. Although, you know, this one is great too. This one's really well known as well.
I think F-Zero is my favorite racing game on the Super Nintendo.
It's so impressive, and it really, really, really holds up. It stands the test of
time. It's very fast-paced. It's very colorful and flashy. It has good music. Good controls. It's mm-hmm. pretty challenging.
It is challenging. It's smoother. The controls are way better than Super Mario Kart. Like, it holds
but
up a lot better.
But there's certain things. Mario Kart has a battle mode and it has two-player options where
that's true. I always
F-Zero
forget, even
not.
To this day, whenever I fire up the SNES and play F-Zero, I always just, oh, let's play multiplayer. I always forget that there actually is no two-player in F-Zero. For some reason, it seems like I have a memory of there being two-player. I don't know if I'm just, my mind is playing tricks on me. But
I think maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it probably is what it is. But anyway, we're going to play Mute City, composed by Yumiko Kanki, as well as Naoto Oshida from F-Zero. Here we go. City from F-Zero.
This is definitely one of the most iconic racing game soundtracks.
Tracks of all time, yeah.
I really like how it... It starts, Carl thinks that he prefers Big Blue to this, and we played that a few weeks ago, but,
I think we played that a long time ago, actually, episode three.
A few weeks. But,
a few months.
But anyways, what I like about this one is, since this is the first track that you would hear in the game, and the first track in the literal sense of, like, racetrack, it starts kind of, like, slowly, which is nice, because you're moving at a fast pace, and then...
It's a great intro.
And the bass line is louder, and that sort of dictates the feel.
Something about the
intro
of this track, the slower chords mixed with the really evokes a futuristic feel to me.
It actually reminds me of David Wise a little bit. He does that a lot in like Donkey Kong Country games. Like, he's able to use like more advanced technology where it almost sounds like it's going through a wah pedal, like
like a phase.
Yeah, he has like those. Phase effects that he's able to do to it, but
the intro really evokes a good futuristic feel. Like for me, when I listen to that intro, I automatically just see, you know, what's interesting when you look at like the background of the F-Zero tracks. Like, I think they're supposed to be like buildings. There's just a lot of flashing colors and
you're
moving.
You're supposed to be like really high up, and there's like this city,
like a city, like a huge city of just constant buildings and technology, and flashing lights and stuff.
No, but what I like about this is the melody is very captivating, but the chords are really nice, and they have sort of a jazzy influence, but the way the instrumentation, the feel, and the melody is not jazzy at all, but some of the chords are a little bit.
The chords are very unique too, like especially the second chord of the A section.
Exactly.
It's just kind of...
And I really like the bass line is... I don't know, it really... It sets up the right type of groove for like a fast-paced racing song, and the rhythm of the song... Something about it makes it feel like the same speed that the vehicle is traveling at.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Racing games, it's very important to have the music and the soundtrack make feel like it's at the speed that you're racing.
You have to find the right tempo when you're composing a soundtrack like that. You have to make sure it's the proper tempo,
because that gives the illusion of speed. Also, it's like like in Sonic the Hedgehog, when you step on the shoes to make you go faster, by speeding up the music, it really makes the gameplay feel a lot faster.
I mean, it is.
It helps. It helps to create that illusion.
Yep. So tempo is really huge in racing games for sure. So now we're going to move back to the Mario Kart world. This was always one of my favorite tracks growing up. I got this game way back in 2001. For the Game Boy Advance, this is Mario Kart Super Circuit. This is a really, really fun game. For me, it really captured the feel of Mario Kart 64 for a portable system, which was really impressive. This was composed by Kenshi Nishimaki, and this game came out in 2001, and we're going to play a track. I think this is the best track from the soundtrack. This is called Sky Garden. This is Sky Garden, composed by Kenichi Nishimaki from Super Mario Kart Super Circuit.
This is very masterful, very well programmed. My personal favorite section is when those other sort of, I guess, syncopated lines come in.
Me too. I was going to say that too. I love that line. And what's cool, listening on headphones again, they're super hard panned, the melody and harmony of that counter melody.
Right.
This part here. They're super hard panned left and right, but that's my favorite part too. It's interesting because those are a lot louder than you hear them when you're actually playing the GBA. Like, they're more noticeable on headphones. But that's a really well done track. Interesting thing about the composition of that track is, I don't know if you noticed, but the chords choices, like where the bass goes, is actually a little bit random. For like the A and B section, it's kind of a very kind of typical melody that you'd expect for that kind of a level. But the bass notes that he chooses are very, very interesting. You know, I feel like he kind of purposely went out of his way to come up with slightly unique root notes for that melody. So that's kind of an interesting color that it gives. But we're going to move on now to a more modern game. Oh, I absolutely loved this game. I had it for the GameCube, but it came out for the PS2 and then that kind of underground system we were talking about called the Xbox. But
oh, really?
Yeah. So this game is called Burnout 2 Point of Impact, and this is an amazing game. This game, the coolest thing about this game, has this thing called Crash Mode. So the whole point of that mode was to crash. It was like the first racing game of all time to ever have that, where it turned what a racing game is on its head, where the whole point of that mode was to make the biggest crash. And it was kind of like if you're making like a Hollywood movie, so how much money damage can you rack up? It's a crazy idea.
It was really fun. The graphics were very impressive for the time, and my favorite mode was
Pursuit mode,
where one person would be in a cop car and they'd try to chase down the escaped
and then there'd
vehicle.
Be a damage bar, and if you damage the car enough, then that's how you'd stop the car.
Lots of good memories. But this first very track is sort of a more laid back.
Yeah, the soundtrack features a lot of distorted guitar. It's pretty much a rock soundtrack. It was composed by Steven Root, who is a composer and who worked for Criterion Games, who made this game
right.
as well as all
this
the other
This is a slightly more laid back track because this isn't during a race. This is during the title screen, and this is, to me, the most memorable track of the game.
Yep, this is Destroyer Mix. Destroyer Mix from Burnout 2, composed by Steven Root. I really like all the different kind of guitar riffs that happen. They're all really catchy.
Right.
One of them has a nice kind of chorus effect.
Right, exactly.
But this one, the more kind of muted guitar riff, I really like a lot.
Definitely.
It's probably the hook of the song.
One thing that's nice is you mentioned that there's those different guitar riffs that come in, different little ideas. They each have a different guitar sound.
They have a different guitar tone.
Like you have that distorted playing the
then you have the chorus.
It almost has like a metal type of sound.
Yeah, then you have the chorus guitar.
Yes.
And then you have the muted guitar playing, which I think is the hook of the song. And then you have the kind of lush reverb delay.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a really well done track. I remember just staying on that title screen, just listening, jamming out to that song back in the day.
Jamming out to the song.
There's some other good tracks in this game too. Some of them are a little bit more kind of cookie cutter, which kind of is what they're going for. But yeah, because the first Burnout game didn't really have a lot of rhyme or reason to the music. It was a little bit more electronic and just kind of nothing special. But this one, he kind of had the idea to make it more cohesive rock soundtrack, which is good. But yeah, very, very good game. We're going to move on now to a very unique game for the TurboGrafx-16 called Final Lap Twin.
Yeah, I discovered this game online because I really wanted to get a track for the TurboGrafx.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get a racing game from that. And so I found this soundtrack, and little did I know that it was actually the same composer to a track that Carl had picked for this week.
Yeah, a track we're going to get to later on. But yeah, this is a very interesting game. This is actually a racing RPG, which sounds like the weirdest combination of genres. I mean, I'm not familiar with any other games like that, but yeah, so it's like you'd race, but it'd also be like a story element to it. I mean, I guess maybe they kind of touch on that a little bit in some of these like street underground racing games where it feels like it's kind of like this RPG. It's not really, but you get a little bit of that sense.
I think most modern racing games have an RPG element. I mean, because, for example, like Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
You go around, you choose what... It's sort of like an open world.
Yeah, but I wouldn't strike... That doesn't strike me as RPG. That strikes me more like GTA kind of
style. You have like leveling up. But GTA, open world, that is sort of like RPG-ish.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no such thing as open world when the TurboGrafx-16 existed.
That's true, but I think this one, like, as far as like a stereotypical like 16-bit era RPG, like it actually was. Like it was a very interesting combination, you know. But anyway, we're going to play a song called Race Song 2. And this was composed by Katsuhiro Hayashi. Race Song 2 from Final Lap Twin.
This has a very authentic rocks sound, especially for a 16-bit console. Mm-hmm. The instruments are very sort of buzzy, and I think they're trying to have a distorted guitar type of effect to it.
Yep.
One thing that's really nice to me is the bass definitely has a... There's not a lot of clear articulation.
Nope.
And the pitch is slightly ugly, but I think that's what it's going for.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I really like is the change in instrumentation. Like, there's a part where all those instruments are backing up, and then they're boom, 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 and then it's, like, soloed. And then at a certain point, it's hard to hear, but in the background, an octave higher, there's a sustained note that comes in. It almost sounds like a, I guess, a MIDI violin or something. Uh-huh. And then more sort of instruments build on it as the loop continues, and then it cuts out and goes back to that solo thing.
Yeah.
It's a very nice, you know, contrasting instrumentation.
Yeah, and first listen, it doesn't seem anything that special. It seems a little bit stereotypical of racing music of this era, especially maybe like, I guess you might consider maybe like B kind of music, like not like, you know, something of the, maybe the quality of F-Zero or something. But it really is catchy. That main riff is very, very interesting notes. It's really catchy. And then the very end section with those really fast arpeggiated lines, it's cool how the second half, it doubles it.
Which and that also gives it sort of like an authentic rock sound. It sounds like they're double tracking, you know, really distorted rock guitars.
Exactly. No, this is a track that warrants a couple listens to really kind of you know, get in your head a little bit. So yeah, that's from Final Lap Twin. And we're going to play another track that composer wrote from a different game later on. He has a very interesting style. We're going to move on to another game in the F-Zero series for the Nintendo 64. This is F-Zero X. And this soundtrack is very, very different from the original F-Zero. It's a speed metal soundtrack, pretty much, for the most part.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. There's I think, a lot of filler on there, and it gets a little bit repetitive. I mean, it just feels like all you hear is just a bunch of double kicks and really, really fast, you know, 16th note guitars. But there's definitely some cool stuff in there, and it's definitely a good kind of high-octane soundtrack for this type of game. But this was composed by Taro Bando and Hajime Mukai. What two really famous Nintendo composers.
What did Taro Bando do? What else?
Taro Bando. I can't think of offhand what Taro Bando did.
The name sounds very familiar, and we've definitely played Hajime Mukai is like a Nintendo
Star Fox 64
composer,
lots of
legend.
Yeah, we've definitely played a Taro Bando track before because I have a memory of you saying his name at some point. But anyway, we're going to play a track called Crazy Call at Cry. Yay for bad Japanese translation. Here we go. crazy call at Cry from F-Zero X. And Will was saying when we were listening to this, this doesn't sound anything like F-Zero. Definitely doesn't.
I mean, it sounds like racing game music. Mm-hmm. The melodies sort of remind me of it, how it's like you have this very like driving rock thing and then this sort of like slower melody, but I don't know. I'd like to make the case that the original F-Zero soundtrack wasn't meant to sound like, you know, speed metal or like really hard rock. I don't know. I think it was meant to...
It was rock pop.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of a little bit more of a thinking about the orchestration of it. This is definitely just more like trying to be really, really, really fast to match with the speed of the game, you know. A lot of people really love this soundtrack, you know. I think it's pretty nostalgic for people.
I think the difficulty is once you move into the 3D era and you get more of a sense of realism, having a pop rock sort of...
It would be considered cheesy. Cheesier. I think at the time there was this fear of being cheesy, so people kind of went more balls out for this kind of thing. But what's interesting now, looking back on it, is something like the original F-Zero holds up way more than this. It's way more enjoyable to listen to. I mean, it is a different kind of genre of music. But even, you know, I mean, if you went with the speed metal, you could still, you know, I feel like they could have taken a little bit more care with some of the melodies and some of the interacting parts. But it's very impressive for the 64. The guitar tones sound pretty good. The really, really wide vibrato is great.
It sounds a little bit like someone's playing with like a pitch bar on a keyboard. It doesn't necessarily sound... Mm-hmm. It doesn't like give the impression of like frets or anything.
Yeah, but you know, at the time it sounded leaps and bounds above anything you'd heard. I mean, it'd be hard to do a speed metal track on the SNES, but we're going to move back into the Mario Kart world, back to the Mario Kart Super Circuit for the Game Boy Advance. We're going to play another original track from that game. This is Bowser Castle. Bowser Castle from Mario Kart Super Circuit. I think this takes the prize for the best Bowser Castle song of any Mario Kart game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I might have to agree.
This is a very, very classic Mario Kart track.
Yeah, one thing that I think is interesting technically is that there's a very distinct difference between the instruments that are like sampled, and they're normally of a better sound, but the fidelity and the quality of the samples is way worse than the more 8-bit sounding instruments.
For sure.
But it's a really interesting mix, and I don't really know too much about how the Game Boy Advance sound chip worked and all that, but I know they were able to get a lot of instruments that sounded more like Nintendo 64, and even those drum sounds, because they're like samples, and you can hear that it's sort of like a crappier quality. But
yeah, the sample rate's pretty low.
The melody and the chords here are very good. This is going again for like a rock feel, and it does sound pretty authentic.
I like that final section, like that C section when it goes to the halftime.
Exactly.
Dun, 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 and then it kind of goes back to double time. It's a good
transition.
And then
the chords start ascending up to get back to the beginning. It's very well done.
Yeah, it's a very powerful track. We're going to go onto a game that is very nostalgic for me. This is a PC game called Mega Race. And I know Marty out there listening, he's going to smile when he hears that, because Mega Race was a game we got for our original Packard Bell computer way, way back in the day. Mm-hmm. I want to say, like, was it maybe 94 or something? It was a long time ago. And this is one of the games we got for it. Very, very quirky game. It was the era when they were getting obsessed with full motion video. So pretty much the whole game, there's all these like cutscenes. There was like this game show host, so it was kind of like this reality TV show in a game, Mega Ray. So there was this really like humorous game show host, a little bit kind of dark sense of humor that the game had. But the actual graphics of the game, a lot of it was like pre-rendered 3D, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But very kind of interesting game. The soundtrack was composed by a French composer by the name of Stephanie Peak, and pretty good kind of chiptune kind of a soundtrack. But we're going to play the first track called New San, and I think that's kind of short for San Francisco, I believe. But this is New San from Mega Race. San from Mega Race, composed by Stephanie Peak.
I like the rhythms in the very beginning.
Yeah.
What is this? What's this track called? New San?
New San. Yeah.
Cool. I don't really remember this game as well as I remember, what's that one?
Well, I think by the time we got it, I don't know if you were even born, or if you were,
No, but really young. That other one, like, starts with an S.
What type of game?
Streets or something. We played it on the podcast before.
Stunts. Oh, the racing game, yeah. Yeah, I kind of wish we didn't play that earlier, because that we could have played that today in a racing game, but...
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, see, the thing is, the reason why you remember Stunts is because I played that for years later.
Oh, yeah.
I played that a long, long time after. But...
Well, and we had that computer for a long time.
That's true. All right, so now we're going to move on to a game called Wave Race 64. This soundtrack was composed by Katsumi Takada, and we're going to play a track called Dolphin Park, which is, I think,
slightly different. Yeah, this is a slightly different type of racing game, because it's in water and you're on jet skis.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that we decided to call it racing games, because then we can include this type of a track instead of just calling it driving games.
Exactly.
So here is Dolphin Park from Wave Race 64. Dolphin Park. Such a catchy song. It's a little bit on the cheesy side, but very, very pretty and very fun. It kind of captures the... Because the game is so beautiful and sunny and tropical, and this is a really perfect first song to hear.
Right. It's different than other racing games, as it doesn't have that sort of feel of like, ooh, it's urgent, you gotta get there. It's very sort of like at your own pace, and it has like a leisurely feel because the scenery is
so relaxing. Beautiful. I mean, you're in the water. It's just, it's a really relaxing, fun racing game. It's not quite as intense.
It's not, also, it's not as much about like, in my recollection, it's not so much of like, gotta get there really fast. It's like you have to go through these like...
Well, yeah, it's a racing game. You're trying to get first, but it's more about like, you know, getting on the right side of, you know, kind of slaloming and just like, you know,
right,
staying on track and stuff. But I like that the final section when it goes to the din, 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 and there's the cowbell.
Right.
It's kind of a cool little section there. So now we're going to go, we're going to move on to our track of the week. And we played a track from the same composer earlier on in Final Lap Twin. But this is, again, another track from Katsuhiro Hayashi. And this is a game called Super Hang-On. And we did, we played this track in our arcade episode to play out. So we never even got to talk about it, and we didn't really get to play all of it. So that's why we're bringing it back. I absolutely love this track. It's a very, very long form. I think it's over 2 minutes, and it just keeps going and going and going. It's really, really impressive. So we're going to play it. This song is called Outride a Crisis, and this is from the arcade soundtrack. Here we go. Outride a Crisis from Super Hang-On. Man, that track keeps going. It's so impressive. One of my favorite parts. A lot of the coolest parts of the song don't come until about like a minute 30. But there's just this one part where it's dun 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 dun.
Yes,
it's like
exactly.
This triplet rhythm that's so just like striking. And then kind of about maybe 45 seconds in, it goes into the section that's very Michael Jackson feeling, some of the chords.
Right.
And then it goes into the section that's very progressive sounding, like something Yes would play or something like... It's just kind of a little bit nerdy, kind of prog sounding. But very, very impressive. It holds your interest throughout, and it's a super long form. It's just so... I don't know. It's just, I love this track.
Is this the second week in a row that you've referenced prog?
I think it is. I think it is the second, which is interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, what was that Ease song we played last week that I mentioned that from? It was for one of the SNES ones, I think, right?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, that is interesting that's 2 weeks in a row.
Well, that is our track of the week. Remember to look for the link to the YouTube video. So yep. What's our next track?
The next track we're going to play, we're going to go back to Mario Kart 64. And we're going to play... This is one of my favorite songs of the soundtrack, actually. I remember as a kid just really being affected by this song. I think a lot of people never really gave it, you know, much thought, but this is called Winning Results. This is the song that plays, I think, after you win, if you get, like, first or second, I believe. Because I know there's a couple different songs that they
right.
play, depending on how you did. This is called Winning Results. It's composed by Kenta Nagata. It's a very... kind of advanced piece of music. It's very jazz heavy, really interesting meters and time signatures throughout. So we'll talk a little bit more about that kind of stuff later on, but this is Winning Results. ¶¶ Winning Results, composed by Kenta Nagata. This piece is in 11/8, which is a very unique meter. You almost never hear this. It might be the only video game piece of music that's in 11/8. It's really hard to figure out. I remember as a kid just trying to like kind of air drum the beat that the drums are playing, and it's so hard to get exactly what the drums are doing. They kind of go where you don't expect. Which is cool, because the groove of this song is really, really impressive. But the overlying melody is a little bit kind of cheesy and nothing that special. It's like, you know, it's not anything that great. But the underneath groove is just, I don't know, something very, very advanced about it.
I don't know, I like the melody. It's a sort of sparse thing. It's not like...
No, it's good. It's well done.
...grandiose thing. And the instrumentation is very nicely. Mm-hmm. That MIDI piano sound is very nice because it sounds slightly detuned. It sounds sort of like a real...
Yeah, but for me, the thing that is really the most impressive about this piece is the kind of, basically, the groove, what the drums and the left hand of the piano.
But also,
that's a great riff.
It doesn't have, like, a short loop, and, like, the chords and the voicings that he's doing on the piano are very legitimate sounding. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like a very legitimate piece of music.
It really does, yeah. I would like to hear a modern remix of this. I think they may have done that in a later Mario Kart game. But I don't think it really...
I think, actually,
it didn't sound much
most,
different.
In the most recent Mario Kart game, Mario Kart 7,
because I think it was still with MIDI. It was just, like, newer MIDI instruments. I'd like to hear this with actual, like, a jazz group or something. But, yeah, I've always liked this track a lot.
Okay, what do we have next?
Next, we're going to play a song from Crazy Taxi.
Ooh, I love this one.
Yeah, this soundtrack. And, you know, maybe some people say, oh, that's not a racing game. But you're racing against time.
And
you're
one,
racing through a city.
And this one was really cool. It was pretty much almost the whole soundtrack features songs from the Offspring album Ixnay on the Hombre.
As well. But there's also some, I think, some Bad Religion tracks as well. But most of them are Offspring. And in this track, All I Want is the track we're going to play. This is the first song you hear in the game. So pretty much this is Crazy Taxi music. This is like, when you think of, this is like... Especially this intro, you hear this like hundreds of times when you're playing the game, and it's such a catchy song. And I never knew this song, like, I didn't know about the song until I played Crazy Taxi. But anyway, this is All I Want by The Offspring.
Okay. Yeah! Day after day, your life's a wreck. The powers that be just breathe down your neck. You get no respect.
Yeah, dude, that woke me up. I love this song.
Yeah, this song is so great.
This whole game is so classic and nostalgic to me.
There's some other really good Offspring songs they have in this game, like Way Down the Line.
Yeah, Offspring, this is a fantastic album.
Yeah, I think this is their best album. I really do.
And this dude's voice is just killer. Yeah. He can get so high. He gets up to like a high D, I think.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite voices of the 90s.
Definitely.
Like, when I think of like 90s like alternative punk, I think of Dexter Holland. He's just a great singer and songwriter too. So this track was composed by Dexter Holland by Offspring.
Gosh, this is great.
What was funny is the lyrics are really hard to understand. I remember used to play this back at a friend's house, and we were always kind of joke about what were the lyrics because we could never really understand them. There's one part was like, what was it? It's like something about like, what are the lyrics for it?
It's like, back off your rules, back off your jive, because
we thought it was like back off your jock strap. Like at some point, that's what we heard, but that's not what it is. But yeah, and what's cool is it's not yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like they're using the syllables to like create like a vocal instrument. It's those aren't really like lyrics.
It's crazy how loud that those opening yeah is compared to that's louder than anything in the song.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's such a great intro to that Crazy Taxi. That's just so cool
that's one of my favorite racing game songs.
Yep. So now we're gonna move on to another F-Zero game. This is F-Zero GX. It came out for the GameCube. It's a very, very good game. It's really challenging. It's one of the hardest racing games of all time. It's incredibly fast, and the reflexes that you need for this game is just kind of unreal. It also came out for the arcade, and I think the same game. It was called F-Zero AX. Pretty much the same game. But this is F...
G for GameCube, A for...
There you go. You got it, man. Gold star for you. This soundtrack was composed by Daiki Kasho. And we're going to play a track called Dr. Stewart. And this is a very kind of dance, rave, electronic feel. So here we go. Dr. Stewart from F-Zero GX.
My favorite thing about this, ironically, is just that repetitive loop of the on that electric piano. I feel like that's sort of like the small, subtle.
It's the
maybe
hook.
It's like a last minute thing, but it's like a.
It's the hook.
It's
I mean,
the little hook.
The hooks of these songs are all made up
all the
of,
other pieces together
of really repetitive, like three or four note riffs that are all interacting together. That's like what the song is all about. Is these really repetitive parts? There's like the classic kind of like rave dance instrument they're using right there.
To be honest, I feel, even though this sounds even less like the original F-Zero than F-Zero X, I think this fits the series a little bit better because it's not a conventional, it shouldn't have a speed metal soundtrack. It's not cars and like fast pace. It's modern, futuristic, so electronic I think fits it well.
I agree, this fits the futuristic aspect of the game much
also,
better.
Also, it's
than
like
F-Zero
you're
X.
moving really fast, but it's exactly what I said about F-Zero. It's like it doesn't have to be fast sometimes. Like it should either be really fast or like a little bit slower. When you get to be in between, it's a little bit confusing for the
tempo. Yeah, I mean, this tempo...
But for this, it's like...
This tempo dance music does work really well for that really, really fast game.
Exactly.
They really pick the right tempo for it. You're right. It doesn't need to be incredibly fast tempo of music.
It just needs to, like... The groove needs to, like, lock in and feel like it's at the same sort of pace as...
Yep.
The speed of the physical vehicle.
So now we're going to go back to Mega Race. We're going to play another track from that game. This is called Terminal City. I think it's also known as Suburbs. Here we go. Terminal City, or Suburbs, from Mega Race, composed
by
Stephanie Peak.
Very well done. I really like that one.
Yeah, this is a pretty good soundtrack.
This is cool.
This is such a... Slightly out of tune.
I like this lady's style.
Yeah. She's cool. Got the goods. This track, especially at the beginning, just brings me right back to Mega Race. So nostalgic.
See, I like this era of like PC music because like the instruments are pretty nice, but it still sounds retro.
Exactly. Yep.
It's really nice. Also, like the I feel like with I'm gonna call them Western video game composers, they had definitely more of like a groovy sort of like the rhythm of the notes that are playing, like that seems a little bit more like Western inspired for video game music, and especially it sounds a little bit more like hip and cool.
And you're definitely gonna hear a lot of that from European composers, which this composer is. I think she's French. I'm pretty sure it's a female, but. I mean, from these European composers, you're going to hear the dance kind of rave type of influence.
Ooh, this
them.
Is really cool.
Yeah.
I really like the rhythm of that.
Yeah, this is a really
cool
track.
Well, let's move on to one of our last tracks here.
Yeah, we have a few more tracks to go. We're going to play another track from Rad Racer, composed by Uematsu. This is Music 2, and obviously that's not the official title, but that's just kind of, you know, what these... tracks are known by. A lot of these, you know, early games, they didn't really come up with titles. Just, I guess, you know, they considered background music to a racing game. So this is Music 2. From Rad Racer.
One thing I really like, the notes have crescendos, but I think of it more as like a slight delay in the attacks. A few weeks ago, Marty was talking about how that works with the square and the like pulse and triangle channels or whatever.
How you can change the different attacks.
Right,
different settings.
With this one, it has... Like, the attacks aren't sharp at the very beginning. Not sharp as in, like, a musical sense, but in, like,
piercing.
Attack. And what, to me, I think that this track doesn't necessarily sound like conventional racing music, but I think that helps to give, like, the impression of, you know, like, an object going by a car, like, sort of
like a
sound.
Oh, yeah, definitely. One thing I was mentioning when we were playing this to Will is, this really doesn't sound like racing music. And then Will was like, well, what was racing music back then? I mean, this was one of the earliest, you know, racing games for the NES, but I mean...
There were racing games for, like, the Atari 2600,
didn't really have music.
Music.
What I meant by that is, it doesn't sound like a departure of style at all. I mean, this sounds like a platformer or just any sort of NES game, which is kind of interesting. There wasn't really a set, okay, this is a racing game, we need it to sound like this, which later on there was a lot more of that, where a lot of these racing games started to sound very similar of their own kind of genre and style.
Also, it's harder to do stuff like that on the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. But they did. There were games that did that later on, for sure.
Yeah, but it, again, I don't think they were quite as knowledgeable about how to make the instruments on the system sound like instruments, where a lot of the racing game music comes from, like, the fact that it sounds like rock instruments.
Oh, yeah.
And they weren't thinking of the instruments like that back then. They were just trying to get the notes to be played to represent all the notes in the chord.
Exactly, yeah. So now we're going to move on to another really famous, well-loved game for the Nintendo 64. Pretty much considered like the competitor to Mario Kart 64. This is Diddy Kong Racing. And this was composed by the genius Dave Wise, the classic Rare composer who did all the Donkey Kong Country games.
I wouldn't call him a genius.
I don't know. Yeah, he's probably... I guess he's a genius, but he's a good composer. He's a classic composer. Sorry, Dave, if you're listening, if you're offended, you probably got excited that I called you a genius and then we kind of took it back.
Dave is not listening.
I don't know. I think he's somewhere in England right now, probably tuning in. What do you
think
he's up to? Is he still making games?
No, dude, he's probably like sitting in his like money pools.
He's probably smoking a cigar.
He's probably still getting royalties.
He's probably in a robe smoking a cigar.
I don't know, man.
You think he gets a lot of royalties?
I'm sure. I don't know
if a lot of those composers. I don't know if those composers had the best deals. I mean, I don't know if they're really raking it in. You know,
he's probably doing something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably an older guy.
Yeah.
He's
maybe like
retired.
Late 40s, 50s, yeah. All right, so we're going to play a track from Diddy Kong Racing. This is Dark Moon Caverns, composed by Dave Wise. Diddy Kong Racing, Dark Moon Caverns.
I feel like this one, I wanted to do this one because I thought it sounded kind of Mario Kart 64-ish, if
it's
you
kind
will.
Of a ripoff.
It has like almost identical chords to some music in that game.
I think there's a different winning results music that has almost the exact same chords and feel.
And almost, yeah, the same feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it also sounds kind of like Dave Wise, too, you know?
Gosh, I actually think about it, I feel like it's a complete ripoff, like a blatant, almost the exact same thing.
Yeah, for a lot of it. Not for this part as much, but for the intro
that
part.
Dave
yeah.
Wise.
Yeah, there's other tracks in this game that are even more Dave Wise feeling. Like, there's a track called Star City that's just
There's
like,
also another track where it rips off the Monkey Island theme.
Yeah, you were telling me that. It was like something woods or green
yeah,
wood.
Yeah, Greenwood Forest or yeah. something. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, not the best soundtrack. And honestly, not. I don't think the game is nearly as good as Mario Kart 64. I know a lot of people kind of grew up and loved this game, but I never spent much time with it. But there's a lot of Diddy Kong Racing games. I think they made a few of them, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
There's like Donkey Kong Racing too, right? Wasn't that a game for like the GameCube or something? Or
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually all the tracks that we have for this week on the podcast.
Yeah, that was kind of a nice, relaxing podcast. Hopefully, that wasn't too strenuous for you, Will. I know you're pretty tired over there, yawning.
Oh, but, yeah, I'm pretty exhausted. But yeah, I like racing music. There's definitely a lot to work with, mm-hmm. and we've probably just sort of scratched the surface of stuff.
Maybe we'll probably have another one, yeah,
eventually, but.
So yeah, like we said, next week, well, unfortunately, we will not have a podcast next week. But
yeah, I'm going to be working on a project mm-hmm. that's going to require some time. So
yeah,
I don't really
you know,
have
Will's,
to focus
Will's got
on
a lot
that.
Going on with classes and stuff. So you know,
well,
he's a busy
that's
guy.
Not what I mean. I mean, in relation to the podcast, there's sort of like a thing mm-hmm. that I'm going to be.
Yeah. But in addition to that, you also are really busy with
yeah,
classes.
It's getting
too,
close to finals and all
so,
that.
So yeah, you know, with that said, we're going to take a little break next week, but we'll be coming back, you know, probably more invigorated than ever, so look forward to that. We won't really tell you, we won't really, you know, say right now what our topic will be, so hopefully, you know, it'll be kind of a nice surprise.
It's because we don't know yet. That's honestly the reason why.
It's going to be LEGO Racers 2 episode. I mean, it's I think you may have forgot that, but I was serious when
yeah,
I said that.
Yeah, I was actually waiting for a chance to do that. Anyways, the one that we're going to play you out with is from Sonic R, one of the first Sonic games for the Sega Saturn. And this is, R is like, it's a Sonic racing game. So mm-hmm. when the Saturn came out and they wanted to bring Sonic into the 3D world, they really were having a trouble of like, how do we do this? Because this whole thing about speed, how do we bring that into 3D? So this was sort of an idea of like, have a Sonic racing game. And
yeah.
It's, and I don't know if the game was that great, but
no,
anyways, this music, I wanted to do this because it really made
cheesy.
Me laugh. It's what I think about this era of Sonic music, but it's really cheesy mm-hmm. and it has a lady singing and it's hilarious. Like it's a really cheesy yeah. pop song, but it's actually kind of catchy.
Yeah, it's not too bad. This game was composed by Richard or Ricard Jacques, who did the Saturn version of 3D Blast. So yeah, this is called Can You Feel the Sunshine? We hope you guys had a good week. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
We'll see you next time.
Goodbye, guys. Can you see